The Gross Profit Podcast is your one-stop shop on the path to profitability. Each week, we share authentic advice on the positive, practical steps you can take to make the company you love more profitable. If you're looking for a positive plan to help you avoid common spending mistakes, control costs, and increase your profits, then this is the place for you. I'm Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined by James Kennedy and Garrett Carraher. In this episode of the Gross Profit Podcast, James and Garrett discuss a listener question about how to measure project profitability when there are variable costs. One way of measuring the profitability of your company is to take a big picture look at your company's finances. This type of examination usually comes at the end of the year as you examine annual budgets, spending goals, and discern the overall profitability of your company. While there's a lot of useful information that can be gained from such a review, it doesn't answer all the questions that arise in the life cycle of a business. This week, we respond to a question from a listener who wants to know how to determine the profitability of individual projects, especially ones with variable costs. This type of question is not answered in your annual report, and its answers can actually help drive the profitability of your company. On this episode, you'll hear how to set up a project budget. Make sure to consider employee cost, material cost, and the overhead cost to determine the true cost of the project. Next, we'll discuss why an annual report won't answer this question. Annual reports do give you an overall picture of the health of your company, but it doesn't get specific enough to analyze the gross profit of individual projects that your company chooses to work on. And finally, we'll have an in-depth conversation about how to determine the true cost of a project. We will share some ways to determine your charge-in rate, which is your employee cost plus your overhead, to determine the true cost of a project. If you are looking for better ways to understand your company's gross profit as it relates to individual projects, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's our conversation with James and Garrett.
Hello and welcome back to the Gross Profit Podcast. I am your host, James Kennedy, CEO at ProcurementExpress.com, and I am joined again by the secret CFO, Garrett Carraher. Garrett, how are you on this fine Sunday morning?
Good, James. Lovely Sunday morning, and another beautiful rainy day here in Kildare. As always, enjoying the weather.
Good, yeah. Well, that's nothing better to be doing than doing a podcast inside. There's no beach to go to, obviously. So, very exciting. Garrett, we have a listener question from one of our customers to talk about today. And let's listen to the question, and I'll fill you in a bit more about who sent it in and what it is after that.
Cool.
Hey, Secret CFO. I love your show. I have a question for you. We are growing our business. We seem to be adding lots of staff and lots of great things happening, but I don't feel the profitability in the bottom line. It's hard to measure. We do a lot of fixed price contracts for our clients, and many of our costs are fixed, but some of our costs are variable, and it becomes increasingly hard to measure the profitability per project on certain projects, especially when they go over time. Would love to know your thoughts. Thanks.
There you go, James. So that's a question in from one of our listeners there.
Yeah, so I have some bit of context here. This is one of our customers where they actually produce animated explainer videos. They do them on a fixed price basis. So someone wants a video to put on your website or to use in your advertising. And they have in-house copywriters and animators and outsourced voiceovers and they and producers. And as a team, they come together to create that project, you know. So, but the cost, the price they quote the client is on a fixed basis, but the obviously they have a bunch of variable costs, and they've grown a lot in the last couple of years, added more headcount, but they've been tracking their turnover, which is easy to do, I guess. But now they're starting to realize, well, hold on, we should be really tracking the profitability on a project basis, which is not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of interesting things from the listener. So a couple of things I picked up immediately there on what she was saying was, you know, trying to find out what a profit is and trying to understand where's the profit going or what's the real cost when you start going overtime on a project. So the first thing I would suggest the listener does is to set up a budget. Okay. So when you set up a budget, you should think about it. Most businesses would have like an annual budget. So obviously, you know, you're out there, a lot of our listeners would be doing the accounts or maybe running a business themselves, and they set up an annual budget. An annual budget is really to track how things are going, help with your cash flow, understand the direction of the business and where you can make more money. But also, you should also set up, in this particular case, you should also look to set up a budget for each of the projects. So that will immediately then let you and let you know how the project is going and give you something to trace back to, like a baseline, if you like, to try and track back to see how it's going. So when we think about a project budget, there's three main things that would make it up. You're thinking about your employee costs. So maybe that's done on the hours. You could track that with your timesheets. You might think about material costs. So if you have any materials going in there or any other third party costs, maybe like subcontractors as well going in there, and you can keep an eye on that using a good PO system. And then you might look at your overhead costs. Now, I think in the questionnaire, she was talking a lot about fixed costs. So a lot of your overhead costs would probably be fixed. So that'd be like your rent, light and heat, any kind of rates you're paying to local authorities, all that kind of stuff are usually done as fixed costs.
So, I love timesheeting is something no one has ever said. And rolling out timesheets in a company, especially a creative company like that, you're going to get a lot of pushback. So, I mean, do you really have to go that far? Is there any other way? Because you're adding admin onto the op staff there and staff who aren't necessarily, they just care about creating a nice piece of work.
Yeah, of course. So there's 2 points there. So you're talking about pushback and admin. So let's take the easy one first. So first of all, admin. The admin is pretty simple, as should be pretty quick. And most companies will build in, 15 minutes of admin a day to fill out your timesheet or whatever you need to do. And like the admin really comes down to, it can be as simple as setting up a spreadsheet and someone has the job numbers on it and a shared spreadsheet and people just type in their hours under their name and that's it. So like very, very easy and very, very quick. And it can be as complicated or maybe even, another way of looking at it is you can just get some simple cloud online software that will just allow you to record timesheets super quick and people can just log in and type in their hours against whichever job they're working on. So that's the first part, admin. The pushback part then, I think sometimes you get pushback from people if they don't understand the significance or the reason behind something. So even I can tell from your loaded question there, James, that you only think this is admin, but it couldn't be further from admin. Actually, what this is going to do is help the company to drive towards profitability by selecting jobs that are high margin. Okay, so if you don't understand what jobs you're making the profit on, you're not going to be able to drive the company in the right direction, and you're going to start underpricing and things like that.
Okay, so you touched on something interesting there. So, for example, another way of determining the profitability would just be get to the end of the year and tot up what's in the bank, what you owe people and what's owed, and that you could say that's your profit. So you could do that with zero admin on the company. What's wrong with that?
So what's wrong with that is that is usually done for financial accounts. So I think we might have discussed one time in a previous podcast, so listeners should check that one out. But that's the difference between financial accounts and management accounts, because financial accounts, you report those in, you send in an overall number and it shows your profit. But if you really want to drive your business forward and understand where you're making your money, where you're losing money, where you're paying too much for materials or employees, or who your star employees, who's making the highest gross profit, which projects make the highest gross profit, then it's important to do monthly management accounts. Have a good management account who can run through those numbers for you and take all the data and produce meaningful information in a relevant and timely manner that you can go through and understand what's going on in the business. Like, I have a quick anecdote if I may, James. I worked one time for a large bakery here in Ireland, and they were an incredibly profitable business, and they wanted, as you do, to close down a competitor. Okay. So the way they thought to close down this competitor was they would take their business. So they'd take their sales. Okay. So the way they took their sales is they outsourced some of their baking to the third party. So the company I was in was selling so much that actually didn't have enough capacity to fulfill the demand. So to actually supply the demand. So they went to this third party bakery who they wanted to get rid of, right, in long term. They really wanted to close them. And they said to them, we have so much demand. I know you have bakery here. You know, things aren't going that well for you. You make some of our product and we'll sell it for you. And they were going, oh, yeah, this is brilliant. This is brilliant. So they went off and they started making the product. The next thing, they thought that this was going to be bad for their company, so we're giving them a really bad price. So we were saying, you make this for us, and we're going to give you €1 per product or per box or whatever. But in reality, like, we were selling it for €10 a box. So we were thinking, this is going to close their company. But guess what? They came back to us after 6 months. They go, this is great. You know, this is super. We're going to invest in another line, another production line, right? So our management were going, what is going on here? Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? And you know what it was? It was down to the gross profit, because guess what? We had given them, and only when we went through the numbers in detail did we find out, we give them one of the highest gross profit products to make. So even though they're only selling us a low price, they could make 5,000 of these items per hour on that particular line. Okay. And they were making a massive gross profit on it. So they're making lots of money, but we didn't realize it. So suddenly we realized it. So we went down to the head of manufacturing, head of production in the company, the head baker, and we went through it with him. So he said, instead of giving them the baguette to do, gives them petit pain to do. So that they could only make, I think it was 1,500 of those an hour. So we immediately started sending that to them, and the gross profit dropped massively. And in the end, we were able to actually buy out that company and take them over and just start using their line like it was our own. But that just shows you there, if you don't understand your gross profit, you can make big mistakes. And that was a big, big profitable business, and I made a simple mistake like that. So for smaller businesses, even more important to understand what's going on.
So for our listener there, it's not all projects are created equal, and understanding which projects are making a better profit and which aren't, irrespective, you might, of the turnover that are creating, it's important to understand the individual profitability of the project is what we're getting to, I guess.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. So it's important to understand which is profitable and understand your costs, because, you know, maybe you need to charge out more on some projects, and maybe the market will bear a higher cost, but you don't know that because you don't know what your costs are, your real costs are on a particular project. So you could be undercharging on some projects, overcharging on the others. You're winning some based on you don't know why, and you know you could be making any kind of profit. So that's the key. That's the first point I make. That's the key point, is to do a project budget, have your hours there, record them on the timesheets, do your materials and subcontractors, record them through a good online PO system, and then your overheads will also pull in. And then the next point I would say, so you might say, well, how do I measure this against what we're actually doing, or how do I measure the cost? And you measure that through a thing called the charge-in rate. So the charge-in rate is the full cost of an employee. So you might think the full cost of my employee is their salary, or maybe their salary plus the government tax as well, employer PRSI or whatever it is where you are. But in fact, there's other costs associated with an employee, because they have holidays, they're not 100% efficient. And then there's other costs, so that you need to include that with your employee costs, and also pensions and stuff like that. And then you need to also, to get a charge-in rate, you need to add in overhead costs and also a bit of profit. So that will give you the full charge-in rate of an employee to understand how much they're really costing you.
Interesting. So, yeah, okay, I wouldn't have thought about, so it's not necessarily just their salary and taxes, but you make a guess that everyone's 80% efficient, I guess, and then you add that on to the, and do you just eyeball that? So whatever, you assume everyone's 80% or 90% efficient, or how do you do it?
Yeah, so what you might do is you might just have a think about it. So normally what I would do is I have a spreadsheet here, and I would look at the number of billable hours, the number of workable hours in a year. Then I would subtract from that bank holidays. I'd then take off the people's holidays. So people might have 20 days holidays, or they might have 30 days holidays if they're in the public service, whatever they have. And you adjust that in as well. And then that will give you a number of hours that they actually work in the year. From there, you then get an efficiency on that. So you might say, these people should be 90% efficient, or they should be 80%. So you might look across industry standards or you might know from your own experience how efficient somebody is or should be. And from that, then you can work out what their billable hours are. So you can say, okay, I've worked this out that in a year, somebody should have, I think I did one recently and it was 1,760 hours in a year, which should be billable out to customers. So once you work that number out, that's your key number for your billable hours. Once you work that out, then you can divide that into their costs, and their costs are made up of their employee costs and also any overhead costs. You divide it in, and that will give you a cost per hour for that employee. That's a fully burdened cost per hour for that employee. So you can work that out over all your employees. So instead of when you have someone on a particular project, instead of just being their employee cost, which is their salary, you also have the overhead cost built into that as well. And that's how you can track that. So that gives you, it's a really useful metric to have, and it really tells you how much things are really costing, you know?
Interesting. So I understand that. And I guess the materials are the most simplistic in whatever needs to get bought. You just raise purchase orders for whatever's getting bought and allocated to their project. I get that. But then the overhead, so rent, other expenses, you know, like electricity, internet, and computers, and IT support, and admin staff, and stuff like that. So how do you, because not everyone in the company is, you know, billing, so they go under overhead, their staff cost needs to go under overhead, I guess. And then how do you split that up amongst the projects? Because some projects would last 3 months, and some would be a month, some would be 6 months.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So this comes back to a key thing where you hear a lot of people saying you need to keep your overheads down. And really, a lot of these overheads, they help the business to run or work or whatever, but they don't add any revenue, you know? And what you need to do is have the right balance between people who are earning revenue and overhead people. And overhead people might be supervisors or managers or people who aren't billable, okay? So that's the point number one. Point number two then is how do you charge it out? Well, what you do is you add up all those overheads. So that's where you look at your budget. And you see, for the budget for the year, I know I've got 3 supervisors. Each supervisor earns 80 grand a year, fully costed for their salary and employer PSI and everything. So then you add that all up. Then you add in any rent and rates, light and heat, blah, 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 the whole shebang. And you end up with, okay, my overhead costs for the year are, you know, 450,000. Okay. Then you say, how many employees do I have? And how many billable hours are they actually supposed to do in the year based on whatever efficiency rate I've worked out? And you divide in the total number of hours into total overhead costs. And what that'll do is give you a cost per hour on the overhead. And you might work that out. It might be €5. It might be, you know, €15, whatever it is. And you add that on to employee costs. So I know then if I have an employee and he's a billable person, I know he's costing me 60 grand per annum. I work out his hourly rate is 30 euro per hour. And then I say I have to add on the overhead charge as well, 15 quid. So I really know that this person is costing 45 quid an hour for any work he does. So then suddenly that gives you a whole new insight into how to bill out, doesn't it? Because you can see how many hours is this fella going to work in this project, or how many people are working this project at their real cost. And you can work all that out. Now, obviously, I'm sure you're thinking there, well, what if he does less hours or more hours? Or what if during the year you hire another supervisor, or you lose a supervisor, or your rent and rates go up and all these costs change or whatever? Well, that's where you get these variances. So you can look at variances as well, but that's a whole different ballgame. We can go through that in another podcast maybe and just understand that. But for the moment, that's what you'd work out, and that's how you'd be able to work out how much your real costs are when you're trying to work out how much to bill people for a particular project.
Very good. So that overhead cost is separate to the charge-in rate, or do you combine the charge-in rate with that overhead cost, or do you have a kind of a separate line there per hour?
Yeah, so the charge-in rate is the employee cost plus the overhead.
Okay, so you combine the two there. Okay, I understand that. Okay, very good. I hope our listener found that useful. If you want to send in listener questions, you can send an email to podcast@procurementexpress.com. Garrett and myself are putting together a list of dozens of tips for improving your business and improving, including cost accounting and project accounting, you can get a free chapter on negotiation if you go to book.procurementexpress.com. But until then, we'll see you next time. See you, Garrett.
See you now. See you, James.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up our conversation with James Kennedy and Garrett Carraher. They shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how to determine the profitability of the projects your company works on. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. Don't forget to click on one of those links to get a free chapter of the book Profit Leaks by James and Garrett. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Gross Profit Podcast.